This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. On this election day, here's a question we wanted to explore. Where are the women in Michigan politics? The number of women in the state legislature has now dropped to a 20-year low. Only 4 women serving in the Senate and only 24 in the House. That puts Michigan at 36th in the nation in terms of female state senators and representatives. And really, look to Washington, the gender ratio in Congress is not a whole lot better. Joining us is Barb Byram. She's the Ingham County Clerk. Barb Byram served as the state in the state's House of Representatives from 2007 to 2013. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And joining us from Boston is Adrienne Kimmel. She's Executive Director of the Barbara Lee Family Foundation. Their mission is to advance women's equality in American politics, and they do it through nonpartisan research and through strategic partnerships. Welcome to Stateside, Adrienne.
Thanks for having me, Cynthia.
Barb, I want to start with you as we look at the situation in Michigan. You've got women who make up 51% of the population in our state and just 18.9% of the legislature. So what happened over the last 20 years to cause such an attrition of women in Lansing?
Well, I think term limits had something to do with it, of course. But what we see is men are recruiting candidates right now because they're the current majority of the current office holders, and they're recruiting other men. You know, we know that when women are asked by other women to run for office, they say yes. But right now, the men are the ones that are recruiting for the 2014 election cycle. So that's certainly a factor, and it needs to change.
Apart from the term limits, is it the tenor of political debate in 2013? Is that turning off women, and I would imagine men, too, who might consider running?
You know, I don't think a woman is afraid of a fight. I don't think women are afraid to take on challenging roles. I think the real issue is they're not being asked to run. And if they are being asked to run, they're a little hesitant because it has been my impression that women second-guess themselves. They think they might not be qualified enough to run, where a man in the same circumstances throws his hat in the ring and says, I'm ready to run. But, you know, women, we are very deliberative, and we want to make sure that we have all the necessary education and background to run. And some of their male counterparts don't really let that stop them.
Adrienne, I think what I'm hearing from Barb, and tell me if this is right, a woman is less likely than a man to look in the mirror and say, hey, you know what, I'd make a good fill in the blank.
That's exactly right. And we know that anecdotally, first of all, that as Barb said, you know, a man wakes up and says, hey, I could be president. I could do this. And a woman wakes up and says, well, I don't know. I'm not sure if I've done this particular job long enough, or I don't know about this one obscure policy issue. I better study up on that before I throw my hat in the ring. And it's something that we see at every level of office, from local office all the way up into Congress, is women who often aren't thinking of themselves as elected leadership. They don't think of themselves as elected officials. And part of it is because we know women get into elected office, and I'm sure Barb would agree with me here, because they see a problem in their community, not about their ego. It's about how do I fix a problem in my community, maybe a problem that's affecting my family, and that's why they look into public office as a way to solve that particular problem. So it's not about them as individuals, it's about their community.
Is this something that you see as you work with potential women candidates through your work with the Barbara Lee Family Foundation? Is this equally happening on the Democratic side, the Republican side?
Yeah, we certainly see a dearth of women running, not running, on both sides of the aisle. In fact, you know, we've seen in 2010 was a little bit of kind of year of the Republican woman governor. We do study governors at the Barbara Lee Family Foundation. There were a decent amount of Republican women governors elected in 2010. We'll see if they are reelected in 2014. Right now, we only have one sitting Democratic woman governor in the entire country. So we have very few number of women governors. We see women who are not being recruited really by either party. And that is resulting in one of the reasons we see fewer women in office. I think one of the other reasons that we're seeing fewer women is because there are barriers to women when they run. Voters look at women differently than they look at men when they're going to the ballot box and when they're casting their votes. And there are certain barriers, including the fact that we just had research that came out showing that women have to show that they're both qualified and likable in order to be elected. So for a man, those two things are not linked whatsoever. And in fact, voters don't need to like a man in order to vote for them. That's not the case for women. Voters actually need to like the woman and see her as qualified. And because those two things are so inextricably linked, if a particular woman candidate has a mistake in their economic plan or does something that would maybe ding the impression that they are qualified, their likability goes down in the eyes of voters.
Huh.
And then reverse, if they are for some reason not seen as likable, voters actually think, I don't know if that woman is so qualified after all. Even though those things should not be linked at all, it's strange in a way to think that they would be inextricably linked, but they actually are for women candidates. So there are real barriers, and those are real reasons why women think about, you know, do they think running for office is the right thing for them? And that's some of the things that we all need to work on to make sure that we actually have parity in our government.
So there's that thing that women in entertainment and women in business, they've faced where if you're tough and competent, you're not seen as very likable. Did you bump up against that, Barb?
Oh, just a couple times.
Talk about that.
Well, you know, June of 2012, you know, there was an omnibus abortion bill on the floor, and I spoke out against it and with Representative Lisa Brown, and we were both silenced on the House floor. And it was fascinating. My Republican male colleagues classified me as they treated me like a child. I mean, first they said I was having a temper tantrum and stormed down the center aisle, and then they said, like other children, you know, she needed a timeout. And I mean, it is. Disheartening to have that going on in my legislative, you know, in my legislature in the state of Michigan. But also the feedback I got from around the world, not just Michigan, not just the United States, but around the world, the amount of support Representative Lisa Brown and I received during that period of time was so heartwarming. And I think as a result, I think we're going to see more women running for office because they see what happens when we don't run for office. You know, of course, we see impacts on female reproductive health. We see, you know, Michigan's fifth worst in the nation for equal pay for women. Those women's issues actually are family issues. They're everyone's issues. If a woman is bringing less money home, she's paying less towards the mortgage. She has less to spend for groceries. She has less to save for college. So these aren't just women's issues. They're family issues. And the feedback that I have gotten is that we need more women in government. And, you know, I'm committed to making sure that happens.
I'm wondering if you could both give us some insight. Do women have a tougher time than men in terms of raising money? Let's say a woman decides to take that plunge and run for office. How do they fare in raising those badly needed dollars?
I don't know how, comparing how we fundraise as opposed to our male counterparts, but fundraising is the least favorite aspect of campaigning. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see if there are those comparisons. But I know during the campaign cycle, women, the attacks used on women are a little different. If I look back to my 2006 race, you know, there was a picture of me dancing at a bar sent to every voter in my district. There was accusations made that I didn't really own my own business, that I don't go by my husband's last name. Those kind of attacks aren't used against male counterparts. And even sometimes, unfortunately, women are treated differently in the press. You know, just recently I was asked, don't your kids want mom home? I don't recall any of my male colleagues being asked, don't they want dad home?
Is this a song you're hearing across the nation, Adrienne?
Absolutely. And it's a real barrier for women when they get into office because women with young children, that question comes up more often than we would expect it to in 2013. How come you're not home with your kids? There's a fear that, you know, the kids are being left to fend for themselves if they're younger children. Or the fear is, hey, I'm the voter. I want to make sure I'm number one for this elected official. So I actually want them paying attention to me. I'm fearful they're going to need to go pay attention to their kids. If a woman doesn't have children, then they're not relatable for many voters. So it is a real catch-22 for many women candidates if they are not women who have essentially college-age or adult-grown children.
I want to talk now about what is being done in Michigan and also across the country. Certainly the Barbara Lee Family Foundation is part of this. What's out there to help women run for elected office? Let's start with you, Adrienne, giving us a sense of the kind of work your foundation does.
Our foundation has been doing research on women candidates for nearly two decades. And in fact, we're going to be coming out with an overview of over 16 years of research in the spring of 2014 called The Essential Guide for Women Candidates. And it really shows throughout the time we've been studying women candidates, what are the barriers that women have to overcome when they're seeking elected office? And what are some of the strategic assets that women candidates bring with them to the table as candidates? Although Barb mentioned and I reconfirmed that family can be a challenge, we do know that women candidates are really seen as kind of 360-degree candidates, meaning they have many facets to them, and voters really connect with that. Voters really feel like women are in touch with their lives. They understand what's happening at the kitchen table. They know that many women are the people who are in charge of their household budgets, and they feel comfortable then with women being in charge of the budget of their state or their town, their school committee. So some of these things about women kind of being in touch and being part of their own families and setting their own budgets really resonate for voters, and so that is a strategic asset, and we look at both the barriers and the assets that women bring with them as candidates for elected office.
Barb Byron, is there a system in Michigan for those of you who are veterans of campaigning and of serving in elected office to reach out to those who are possible candidates for doing so?
There are trainings all around the state, and I think it is required of former elected female elected officials to serve as role models and sounding boards and really make sure that we are fostering the next up-and-coming female leaders. I think that's part of our responsibility to our future.
Clearly, you both feel from down to your core that changes have to happen to the political process to even out this gender gap. What's the price we'll pay as a state and as a nation if we don't? Adrienne, I'll start with you with that.
As I mentioned earlier, you know, we're looking at not all of the greatest thinkers in the country being at the table. I think all of us can say that we want the best and the brightest to be serving in our government, whether that be at the federal government, the state level, or the local level. And we're missing a lot of those voices. We're missing a lot of life experience that are different life experiences that women could bring to the table that aren't able to be part of the dialogue right now, given the lack of women in government. And that's something that we need to change through, as Barb said, through training programs, through asking your neighbor. If you think she would make a great elected official, ask your friend, ask your neighbor, ask your mother, ask your sister. We need to make sure we're doing that. Women need to be asked about six times to run. Men don't need to be asked.
Yep, men just jump in. Women need to be asked, and we need to have, we need to diversify our elected officials. And the best way to do that is to add more women into that mix. We come with different experiences, different life experiences, and if we saw more women in elected office, we would see pay equality, which helps small business and it helps the family. We would see investment in education, investment in our young minds that are going to be our future, and of course, investment in health and access to health care, because it's not a women's issue. This is a family issue. All of the issues that we've discussed are family issues and have tremendous impacts in our communities.
That was Ingham County Clerk Barb Byron, who served in the State House of Representatives from 2007 until 2013. And she was joined by Adrienne Kimmel. Adrienne's executive director of the Barbara Lee Family Foundation. You can find out more about their work at barbaraleefoundation.org. Thank you so much to both of you for talking with us today on Stateside.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia.